not easy. However, the awareness of young people on the value of their tradition proves that tradition can coexist with modernization.
Announced a potential breakthrough concerning the Palestinian situation in Gaza after his diplomatic consultation with leaders from the United Arab Emirates, Turkey, Qatar, Egypt, and Jordan. Speaking before his return to Jakarta, he expressed optimism about forthcoming positive development and reaffirmed Indonesia's commitment to supporting Palestinians' independence and seeking a fair, peaceful resolution in the region. Additionally, Prabowo emphasized that any plans to evacuate Palestinian civilians in Indonesia would proceed only with consensus from all involved parties, particularly regional stakeholders. Chinese President Xi Jinping emphasized the growth strategic significance of China and Indonesia relations during a recent phone call with Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto. The leaders reaffirmed their commitment to deepening the comprehensive strategic partnership, especially as the world faces increasing geopolitical tension. This dialogue coincided with the 75th anniversary of diplomatic ties between the two nations, highlighting their shared vision for regional stability and mutual development. And that was the news. Provide you with news, information, and also entertainment from Indonesia to the world. And everything feels so good, just like a song from Deepa Badaris featuring Not In All Good. Or you can tune into our online streaming for news.id, shortwave 325 kHz and 4755 kHz, also our application in NNA Digital.
I am the bass, low is the face. Come from the ground, feel the
the space. The eye of the base. Embrace the pace. No need to cry. Cause I am the base. You and I are so alike. We move and groove. We assign proof. You and I, we feel alive. We are right to the bone. We hit the tone.
PhD, head of the data center, information and disaster communication of BNPB, with lots of things that we're going to talk about, especially story from Myanmar. And right now we have here, Abdul, how are you today?
Hello, Ras. Thank you, I'm fine.
How's the weather in Myanmar right now?
Oh, we already got back to Jakarta, and currently I'm on the team rest of my time.
Okay, so without any further ado, let's begin this special interview. But for the first question, I would like to ask, the Indonesian search and rescue team has returned home after a 12-day humanitarian mission in Myanmar, and what would you like to say regarding this?
Yeah, 2 days ago, we already welcomed the whole team of the INASAR after 2 weeks of work at the Napita, one of the most destructive areas with a severe impact in Myanmar. Basically, the INASAR team already completed their job after the Myanmar representative stopped the emergency response phase after 2 days after the earthquake. So basically, the search and rescue work at the field already stopped since April 7th. And after that, the INASAR team continued their work to support the EMT, Emergency Medical Response Team, that deployed by the BNPB and also Ministry of Health, which is currently still ongoing to work and support the people in the affected area. And particularly, I would like to highlight this effort that the field hospital of the Indonesian medical team is visited at least 100 to 200 people every day. So this is quite amazing work for us and really appreciated by the Myanmar representatives so far.
Okay. Not just for helping, but I would like to ask, what were the main tasks carried out by the team in of search and rescue in Myanmar, and what was the extent of the damage there?
So first, I would like to inform you that we have deployed two teams. First, the INASAR, the search and rescue team that worked in the first week after the earthquake. And the second team is the emergency medical team that still going to support the people in affected area until probably until April 21st. So the search and rescue team work at the Nautical area, one of the severe impact area in Myanmar. And the team complete the task in finding the dead bodies in the affected area. And we complete the team at the probably 2 or 3 specific area that the Myanmar representative assigned us to do the search and rescue operation there. And basically the area that we do the search and rescue operation is the residential of the civil servant at Nautical. Even Nautical is the new capital after the move from Yangon, and the area we do the operation is the residential of the civil servant at the Nautical. The extensive damage, they're quite severe, and basically almost 80% of the building were severe damage. But in Nautical, still not so many residentials because it's still new city like Ikaim in Indonesia. But the Myanmar representative really appreciate that we already completed the job just 7 days after the earthquake.
Okay, and the team has reportedly succeeded in evacuating victims from the rubbles. And what steps were taken to ensure the success of the evacuation? Does it including combining strength with other teams or any plans from Indonesia alone?
So, in each specific area, the team deploying in each specific area is from a specific country. So, we are not mixed with the other countries' search and rescue team. So, Indonesia completely evacuating the affected people on our own area of duty from the Myanmar representative. And after that, we report that the whole building are clean, no more victims that is probably still trapped in the rubbles. So we complete making report, and we hand over that the area to the Myanmar representative, and we, after that, we continue the search and rescue team, continue support for the emergency medical team that is still ongoing until now.
Okay. Speaking of the emergency medical team, who is still on the ground until April 23rd, 2025, what is the current condition of the injured victims of the earthquake there, if you don't mind sharing it, and what kind of medical assistance is most urgently needed for the people in Myanmar right now?
So we have two field camps, field hospital there, a very, how to say, field situation. Not really a hospital, actually, but we still can do a basic surgery, bone surgery there. So, you know, after the earthquake, most of the affected people, mostly, if they have a very severe injury, it should be related to the bone, because they affected from the building and etc. So we still conducted the basic bone surgery there, at least 2 or 3 surgery every day. And after the earthquake, people leave the evacuation area, leave the tent, and 1 week, 2 weeks, they start getting some sort of, climate-related disease, like, headache or stomach problem related to the quality of the hygiene and etc. So that's the everyday patient, most of the patient that visiting our emergency hospital in the Nautical. So as I mentioned before, at least 100 to 200 patients every day. So at least we already take care up to 3,000 to 4,000 people since the fifth day they arrived at the Nautical area. So that's a very, very significant effort from the Indonesian government to Myanmar representative.
I see, and it's really amazing as well. So for the Indonesia, who is one of the countries that really help Myanmar in the current condition right now, and that sent humanitarian team to Myanmar after the earthquake, how is the Indonesian fostering preparedness so that its team are always ready when needed?
Yeah, this is not the first time we did that. In the last 2 years, we already sent 14 to the countries that are affected by the natural disasters. We still remember 2 years ago, we sent a very big SAR search and rescue team to Turkey after the very big earthquake in Turkey and Syria. And after that, also sent a team to Vanuatu and Fiji, Papua New Guinea, etc. So, particularly for Myanmar, in the last year, we already sent 2 times. So last year, we also sent a humanitarian mission to Myanmar after they are affected by the cyclone Mocha. So also severe impact after the very big cyclone hit the Rohingya area. So that is also one of the particular political issues that to reach the impacted area, sometimes we face different social problems related to the official representative for the Myanmar. But anyway, we still successfully send the humanitarian logistics, we successfully deploy the emergency medical team and also the search and rescue team, and that's that. The work is very appreciated by the representative for the Myanmar.
I see, so that you can proudly say that Indonesia and Myanmar currently have a strong relationship between the two countries.
Yeah.
Okay, so reflecting on the earthquake disasters in Myanmar, what is your message for the people of Indonesia regarding the earthquake preparedness, since Indonesia is one of the countries that actually have lots of earthquakes happening throughout the year?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So, as we know, as a basic, very basic principle of the earthquake, that it's not the earthquake who kill people, but the building that is not resistant to the earthquake that will kill people. So, that's also what we see in the common developing countries that happens to the earthquake, that damaged building will cause many casualties. So, in discussing the possible mitigation of the earthquake, we should look backward, not forward. What I mean is, if we are reconstructing the building after the earthquake, of course, we will build the earthquake-resistant building. But when we have keep in mind that Indonesia population is probably
growing rapidly.
Growing rapidly, and at least we have 270 million people, say 50 million household, which is also 50 million housing. Where I can say that probably not even 1% of this 50,000 building that resident to the earthquake. So BNPB currently thinking in a deep discussion how to retrofit this 50 million houses that are already being built. So how can we strengthen the building? That's the main key to put the mitigation effort in the future. So still, we are in the discussion how to fund, how to make things affordable for the household in Indonesia to strengthen their own building. It's not really very high cost, but also scientifically could be really assess in the future earthquake.
Okay, but not just like preparing for the preparedness of the building. Is there like a plan to spread awareness and also teaching the residents on how to deal with earthquake effectively from the BNPB?
Currently we start from the bottom because discussing about the campaign for the socialization and raising awareness, it's not one hit program, of course. It should be sustainable and should be close to the next generation, because when we discuss about the earthquake, the written period is not 1 or 2 years, but probably 50 to 100 years. So the message should be passing through generations, so they still can remember what happened in the past in order to prepare the mitigation for the future.
Okay, that's a really interesting take. And finally, I have two questions that maybe can come as one. So, how many volunteers of members does Indonesia currently have in its humanitarian team, and are they all ready to be deployed if needed? And also, how long does it take for these volunteers to be considered ready before the deployment of humanitarian mission?
So for the search and rescue team, we have a ready team 24/7, and it's probably not less than 500 personnel. And for the emergency medical team, the Ministry of Health has already developed the supporting team in all over Indonesia. That's probably not less than 5,000 personnel. And the BNPB itself, we have at least 10,000 registered volunteers in all over Indonesia. And how much time do we need to prepare them to deploy them in all over the world, worldwide? For example, we don't need even 2 days to make them prepared. So just we need the direct instruction from the president in order to deploy our resources out of Indonesia. Once it established, one, it issued, then the personnel and also the logistics condition could be deployed worldwide.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Abdul Muhari, for your time for this interview about the story from Myanmar and also the safety of the world and also the rescue team BNPB from Indonesia. And I always hope the safety for the teams that are going through the missions. And thank you so much, well, listener, for accompanying this special interview about the story from Myanmar with Abdul Muhari, PhD, the head of Data Center Information and Disaster Communication of BNPB. And thank you so much, and I'll see you in another special interview.
Thank you. in one time. Afterwards, it is also skimmed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gumbo platter is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or cream sticky rice paste. For one bowl of ice gumbo platter, you only need to pay 5,000 rupees. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Rituals or ceremonies. For example, in Bogor there was Angklung Gubra, and in Banten, Angklung Serap. It was all media for traditional ceremonies, which in essence was for tasakuran or thanksgiving to the Lord, or even a repellent of bad spirits. Now, however, it is not to ward off bad spirits anymore, but to repel pests.
Formerly, Angklung was used as part of ritual among the people. Then, as time went on, Angklung became a folk entertainment. How could this happen? Dying of Tafian Ujo, an Angklung artist from Saung Angklung Ujo, has an explanation.
Initially there was no tone, no cylindrum, nor pelo. Originally Angklung was just rhythmic music. Jengon jengon jeng. It was used by Badui tribe as tribute to the goddess Dewi Sri during the harvest. Don jeng don jeng don jeng, so there was no tunes. But then the outside Baduis created Dami Lalati Dachuns, who they used as a means to beg. Then Mr. Dying Sutikna was interested in it. He was a teacher, a music teacher, and a scout instructor. Mr. Dying tried to find out how could this musical instrument be taught in schools. When he saw the beggar, he thought this could be translated into Do Re Mi Fa Sol La Si Do. Then he tried to do it and offered to teach this in school. He was rejected. Why? Because at the time only rich people could go to school, and they did not want to play beggar music. Finally, he decided to teach it to boy scouts. When they played Angklung so beautifully, the schools then became interested. At last, Angklung went to school. So the one who translated the traditional tunes into Do Re Mi Fa Sol La Si Do is Mr. Dying. Why did he do that? Because at the time, schools were in need of musical instruments. That's the main reason. Then, when it became interesting, Angklung then was turned into music for entertainment.
Thanks to the scholarship, they have been given the opportunity to learn the art and culture of Indonesia, especially Angklung music at Saung.
from Ujo, Bandung. Initially, when they first saw the Angkor music performance, they were so amazed. How could some pieces of bamboo produce such beautiful music, which ultimately has made them feel familiar and love Indonesia?
Namaste, Haidar. Saya berasal dari Azerbaijan. Ya, saya semakin suka Indonesia. Ini aneh untuk saya.
My name is Haidar. I come from Azerbaijan. Yes, I love it. I'm getting more and more in love with Indonesia. This is extraordinary for me since this is the first time I see a musical instrument made of bamboo. It is very unique and I really want to learn angklung. In my opinion, angklung is not difficult if you really want to learn. I think I can. Yes, I can play angklung.
My name is George Kozina. I'm from Nauru. Well, the first time, I didn't know that bamboo can make music from it. But now, I can, realize that bamboo can make of many of things, like can build house, making music, and everything. But the first, I was, so surprised that they made music from this bamboo, like angklung. Yeah, I also, maybe this is the first time I can pass the music class, yeah. Very easy. Back home, I have to, if I want to teach angklung, maybe I need to buy this equipment to go back to Nauru and teach them how to play angklung. Because in Nauru, we don't have bamboo, but we don't have much bamboo.
People are interested in learning angklung music, including foreigners. This is a logical consequence, especially after UNESCO designated angklung as masterpiece of oral and tangible heritage of humanity. But there is also concern about the typical music of West Java, as perceived by the angklung master Daeng Octaviani Ujo.
Apa yang saya lebih khawatir adalah, saya khawatir angklung ini bisa orang lain lebih bagus memainkan. Kenapa? Ketika saya mainkan lagu China. But I'm worried that other people will play angklung better. Why? When I played a song from China, Chinese people were surprised. It sounds better in angklung. When last week we were in Korea, we played Korean songs. Wow, they sound really nice with angklung. When I was in Cuba, we gave them some angklung. There is a music school in Cuba. Cuba is a coast state, but they play angklung beautifully. They have tango and salsa patterns. So my concern is, angklung can be played at anywhere, by any country. You can imagine the Nigerian can play angklung. The Arabs can as well play in the desert. The Chinese, the Japanese, it can be played anywhere. That's what I'm worried about. More people can play better. They're more serious. Well, how about if we are not serious?
Same concern is also shared by the head of tourism and culture of West Java province, Nunung Sobari. He even worries that angklung recognition as World Cultural Heritage will be revoked by UNESCO.
Jadi betul sekali, di sisi lain kita bangga gembira dengan pengakuan itu, tetapi itu kan juga ada syaratnya. Jadi angklung itu dievaluasi oleh UNESCO.
So it is true, on one side we are proud, happy with the recognition, but there are some conditions. So angklung is to be evaluated by UNESCO. If the result is negative, then the recognition will be revoked. The negative criteria are as follows. First, if angklung is mass-produced, manufactured. Second, if according to the assessment of UNESCO, activities related to angklung have dropped, or even none at all.
In order to keep angklung alive and growing in West Java in particular, and in Indonesia in general, the government has initiated a Love Angklung movement. A more strategic effort actually is to make angklung-related activities in schools. So angklung now has become an extracurricular activity. Schools in Bandung now have sent their students for angklung lessons. Some headmasters have even invited professional angklung instructors to train their students and to form angklung ensembles.
The government's seriousness in maintaining, developing, and utilizing the unique art of West Java is also evidenced by the opening of a new study program in the Indonesian Art College, namely Angklung and Bamboo Music Studies Program, as revealed by a lecturer of Karawitan, Indonesian traditional music, who has also been appointed head of the program, Yon Setiono.
Kemudian pemerintah juga dengan membuka salah satu prodi bambu.
Then the government has also opened a bamboo music studies program at STSI. Yes, perhaps this is also another effort. There are courses leading to bamboo music, and now there are also scholarships.
The head of tourism and culture of West Java province, however, says that all the efforts that have been taken by the government will not run well if it does not get support from other parties.
Karena menurut saya dalam pelestarian.
Because I think the conservation, development, and utilization of the art and culture must be done simultaneously. I conclude as choir symphony, you know, one sound singing a song usually is not so good, but it would be so nice if the song is sung in choir together. I mean, those components are not just the government. The first is the government, the second are artists or cultural figures, the third are associations or groups, including schools.
Support for preserving angklung would be created if all are aware that angklung is fun, as perceived by the artist angklung, Daeng Octaviani Ujo.
Let's create angklung awareness. Angklung is fun, not a kind of heavy music. It can be played by anyone. Well, why don't we try it? No problem if you don't like it. It is impossible to make everybody like it. So, just try and taste it. After that, let's take a drink. And I want a lot of people to try and listen first. So do not always make a remark about what angklung is like before feeling it first. So open your mind. Well, it turned out that angklung is like this.